We have finally arrived. It is the final podium game podcast. Well, it's not really a division preview anymore since we're doing predictions, but part
we'll
of the
say
series.
It's the season preview.
Season preview now. Good call. That's Jared Dubin who's been here helping me out with all this. Do you know what the worst part about this ending is?
No.
I have to go back to booking guests and calling people and texting and emailing people.
Well, you know what? I'm going to steal all the guests from my podcast.
That's mean. We got a bunch of different things we're going to talk about here, but we will start off with who we think is going to make the playoffs, the top eight in the Eastern Conference. Would you like to go first or second?
I'll go, or you want to reveal one at a time who you've got for each slot?
Ooh, we could do that. Yeah, fancy. All right, the last two spots were the hardest for me.
Yes, I had four teams in the mix, and I wound up going with the ones I think have the highest floor.
My guess is I had three teams in the mix. I'm going to guess you had Detroit in the mix, and I didn't.
Yeah.
Yep, that's... People love Detroit again. We did this last year.
I actually was lower on Detroit than everyone last year. I was like, this team is going to be terrible.
Yeah,
And they were. But now they have Stan Van Gundy, which I think is like a 10-win difference between him and the nonsense they had last year.
I shouldn't say we there. I didn't like Detroit last year, but a bunch of really, really smart people liked Detroit last year.
Yes, there were a lot of people that had them fifth or sixth in the East, which was just nuts.
Yeah, they still, and I... All right, let's... Number eight.
Number eight, I have the Miami Heat.
I went with the Heat also. I really wanted to pick them to not make the playoffs.
It came down to... I mean, you'll see who the team I was debating with them was when you see who I have not making the playoffs. And it was a very difficult decision.
You're going to laugh at me with my seventh. I just did it and didn't care.
Okay, so I put the Nets in seventh.
You
put the Knicks.
Yeah, and this is what I want. If I could...
So you have the Nets missing the playoffs.
Yeah, I have the Nets missing the playoffs. If I could get a contract from Derek Fisher saying he would play Kohler Smith at center, Melo, Shumpert, JR, and Calderon for about 1,000 minutes, I'd feel way more comfortable.
They clearly want to make Amore and Bargnani happen. So
yeah, so I also see scenarios where they win less than 35 games. But I picked
I think it'll take more than that to make the playoffs in the East this year. I think it'll take 40.
Yeah.
And I think there's a chance the Knicks do win that much. But if the over-under is 500, I bet they're slightly under.
Yeah.
Just based on the way they're going to play the guys, the defense is... We talked about the Knicks in the division preview. The defense is going to be very bad. And the offense should take a while before it gets into rhythm, because it always does in the triangle. We don't need to talk about that anymore.
So you went with the Nets.
Yes.
And has Garnett even played in the preseason?
KG? I mean, Garnett doesn't need to play in the preseason.
I know, I was just curious. I look at their box score every night, and I don't think I've seen him yet. I don't think I have either. But the thing is, yeah, he doesn't need to, but...
He played two games.
Okay, he did. New coach, new offensive system. You would like for him to get in a little bit of a rhythm playing with what they're trying to do. As someone wrote today, they're playing much faster than they did last year so far in the preseason.
Yeah, preseason is always faster, though.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Okay, I had no idea. How do you know that?
I read it somewhere.
Who took the time to figure that out?
I think it was Schumann.
Schumann, God, that's some dedication right there. Jesus.
Well, he's got all the data.
Yep. All right, so our top six, I'm assuming they're all going to be the same teams, just in different orders. I don't think there was anything real creative. I think there's kind of a tier system here. I think 4, 5, and 6 are kind of similar and all interchangeable. I think 1's all by itself, and then I think the two and three are kind of interchangeable for me.
See, I've got 1 and 2, and then 3, 4, 5, 6, and then 7, 8, 9, 10.
Okay. 6. I'll go first. I went Bobcats in the 6th slot.
I have Washington in 6th.
I had Wizards 5.
They have Beal is out for a little bit. Webster is still out. They're going to be starting Pierce and Otto Porter, I think. I think it'll be a little bit before they really get going.
I have some recency bias. I saw Otto Porter make 9 3-pointers last night. He's going to be the greatest shooting guard in NBA history.
I like Otto. I think he's going to be pretty good, but I think it's going to be a little while before Washington gets up to speed.
Yeah, no, and on a serious note, I do think Porter should be a solid player. He was the third pick in the draft. He was very good in college. He just had a weird rookie year. There's nothing you can do about injuries sometimes. Fourth, I have the Hawks.
Fifth, I have the Hawks, but I think that they're going to have a better record than the fourth place team that I have, so they'll be home in the first round. But the fourth place team is a division winner.
Oh, did I screw that up? So I have to switch. Yeah, I have to switch the Wizards and the Hawks.
Why do you have to switch the Wizards and the Hawks? They're in the same division.
Oh, yeah. Oh, stop confusing me. Damn it.
My fourth place team is Toronto.
Oh, you see, you have Toronto much lower than I do.
Much lower? You have them in third?
Nope.
Oh, you have them. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I have them in fourth. I think they win the Atlantic fairly easily, but with something like 46, 47 wins.
Yeah, so I went Wizards 5th, Hawks 4th. I really like the Hawks, but I couldn't bring myself to put them higher.
Yeah, I think I have the Hawks at like 49 wins, and then the team I have ahead of them in the Southeast at like 50.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't even do it with wins. I just did who I liked more.
Well, I took my win projections from when I did it for the ESPN forecast.
Yeah, I don't know the total amount of wins that are in the league and figuring all that stuff
1,230.
Yeah, and then correctly distributing that, I'm not good at math. I wanted nothing to do with that.
Right.
So fair enough.
So you have in fourth who?
The Hawks, and then third I have the Bulls.
Third I have the Hornets.
I think
they win that division. I love that team.
Oh, in my story I wrote Bobcats. Yeah, that happened.
Gonna do.
Yep. All right.
I think that with Lance, and they got Marvin Williams, who I know people don't like Marvin because he got drafted before CP3 and Darren Williams, so everyone thinks he's terrible, but he's not. He's a useful player. He can shoot some threes, defend threes and fours, and they've got youth in the front court too, with Zeller and Vonleh. Big Al's still there. Kemba, MKG. It's a good team, deep team, like good defense, and they added Lance for more penetration too. I think they're going to be really good.
Yeah, so I went with the Raptors ahead of the Bulls because I really like the Raptors team. I think they win 50 to 54 games this year. The Bulls, no, they're already talking about Noah was taking longer to get back from his knee surgery than they expected, that it's taking him longer, that he's still dealing with stuff. He's going to have to wear a brace all year. Jimmy Butler's already hurt, and you're relying on Derrick Rose. So they have a lower floor. So I went with the team that I thought. I kind of what you did with 7 and 8, I did with 2 and 3.
Yeah, I've got Chicago in second. Yeah, they're good. They've been good the last couple of years, even without Rose. They're going to play really good defense. We know that. They replaced, essentially, Boozer with Pau Gasol, but they also added Mirotić and Doug McDermott. They're good, they're deep, they're versatile, they're always going to play really, really good defense. And, I mean, if Rose is, like, even 75% of what he was before, they're going to be really fucking good.
Let me say this. If I was going to pick one team to jump the Cavs and take the one seed, I would have picked the Bulls and not the Raptors. I think there's a higher ceiling there.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
So it's not like I think the Bulls are crappy or aren't good. I just, there's circumstances around them that worry me.
That's fair enough.
And we both have the Cavaliers 1. They have these guys that are good at basketball on the team.
That team might do all right this year.
I think they're going to be okay. All right, let's go. I
also, by the way, like you said, I think it's entirely possible that Chicago is the one seed. just because it might take Cleveland a little bit to really figure out what they're doing. They might have some worries on defense, especially if Barrichello gets hurt. I mean, it'll be interesting to watch what happens with them, but there's just too much talent there for them to not be really good.
Yeah, very similar to what when LeBron joined Miami. They started like 8-7 or something like that. They ended up being fine, but that's 15 games right there where they played 500 ball just because they were getting used to each other.
Yeah, I mean, teams, even really good teams, have stretches like that in the middle of the season all the time.
Yeah.
Theirs just happened to come at the start. But I think there, so I had one different playoff team. I had Cleveland replacing Indiana. And you had two. You had Cleveland and the Knicks instead of the Nets and Indiana, right?
Yes. And I the one team that I really don't want to put the Heat in, if that bothers me. I don't think the Heat are good. But I just Bosch is too good to drop them.
And, like, they still have Wade. You know, he's not what he was a few years ago, but he's still good. And they have Deng and McRoberts and all the different guys. But one injury on the wing, and they're in trouble.
The Danny Granger ain't coming to save you.
Yeah, when you're counting on Danny Granger and Udonis Haslam for big minutes and Sean Williams for rotation minutes. Like,
hey, whoa, that's easy with the Sean Williams slander.
Listen, I am just about, like, other than Seth Rosenthal, who's the biggest fan of Extra E on the planet, I'm probably the next biggest fan. But you're in trouble if you need him to be a significant contributor.
Yeah.
Like, it's nice if he's a bonus contributor for you and you have a guy that can stand in the corner and shoot threes. But if you need him to be a significant player, there's a problem.
They had a game on TNT this week, I think, or ESPN, something, and I know McRoberts is out, and he was starting. I was just like, whoa. Even as a preseason game, as the backup filling in for someone, I was like, yeah, Sean Williams shouldn't be a guy that's starting. I don't care, it's preseason. That's not good.
There was a game the first year the Knicks traded for Melo, where Sean guarded LeBron almost the whole game. The Knicks won that game in Miami. I was there. It was a good game. Amari had like that block on the end on LeBron's layup.
I'll always have a soft spot in my heart for Sean Williams.
Oh, me too.
The Western Conference. I ended up bumping one team. I did it.
I still can't decide on my eighth spot. I literally have three teams written in the spot for eight.
So you're deciding between the Blazers, Suns, and Pelicans.
Yes.
Pick everyone from the one division to do it. Make it happen for a second time in 10 years.
The non-Anthony Davis pieces there worry me.
And they're one injury away from being screwed also. Very much
right.
Like
it's,
the Heat.
It's not. It's basically just, if you put them in, it's basically just a bet that Anthony Davis is too good to not make the playoffs, which is entirely possible, but the rest of that team still worries me. I think, you know, at gunpoint, I'd go with Portland still.
I went with the Suns.
You could convince me of the Suns. Like, tomorrow I might tell you that it's the Suns.
I look at the Suns roster, I look at the Blazers roster, and just top to bottom, the Suns are a better basketball team than them.
That's interesting. Top to bottom, why do you phrase it that way?
They have more...
You don't like Portland's bench?
No.
Basically?
Yeah, they don't have any depth. There's no room for error. Their starters, they barely dealt with any injuries last year.
Yeah, but that starting lineup is so good. One of the best lineups in the league.
The Suns starting lineup can be really, really good.
I worry a little bit about the Suns with no Channing Frye. He was such a big part of what they did.
He was where his WAR was 10 games last year. More than pretty much anyone I write for a Suns blog, I probably valued Fry more than any single person involved with that blog. But just between Markieff, Marcus, the two Morris brothers, the Morai, Anthony Tolliver, they're going
to
play.
Hey, good thing you corrected yourself to say the Morai, by the way.
Yeah, I didn't want to offend you, and yeah. You never come on a podcast again. They're going to play crazy small lineups that are awesome. I wanted to root for them. I like them more. I don't like rooting for LaMarcus Aldridge. He bothers me. Go Suns. That's my reasoning.
This isn't about rooting. It's about what we think is going to happen. Like, I'm going to root for the Knicks.
Well, come on. I think they're really even, and I'm going with the fun factor.
All right, fair enough. Who do you got seven?
Mavs.
I have Houston.
Yeah, I'm way higher on Houston than most people. I have them way up there.
I think they're another team with not a lot of depth. Their starting lineup obviously is very good, but you're banking on Trevor Ariza being contract year Trevor Ariza, which he has never been outside of a contract year.
Yeah. With the Mavs, Tyson Chandler worries me. I can't get out of my head what I saw last year. I know it was a shitty situation, but he wasn't good, and that...
I disagree with that.
That image sticks with me.
I wouldn't say he wasn't good. I would say he just clearly gave up on the season with about, 30 games left.
The style he plays...
He just didn't want to be there at all.
But the style he plays and his age, and he's had injuries the last 2 years, he worries me. When he's healthy, he's freaking unbelievable. He's really awesome. But I have concerns about him. Not enough to drop...
He's not that old. He's only like 32.
Yeah, but he also started the career earlier.
Yeah, but I think he's got less miles because of, missing games early in his career. Let's move on to the sixth seed.
Warriors.
I have the Warriors there also.
That might be our, outside of Cleveland, that might be the first one we had the same.
Miami also.
Miami, okay.
In the East.
Yeah,
I think they played a little bit over their heads last year, Golden State. I do think that their offense will get a little bit of a bump under Steve Kerr, but I don't know. I just think the other teams are better than them.
Yeah,
the West is so good.
That
team, I'd have them probably second in the East, maybe third.
I picked them second in the East. I have no hesitation to that.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a toss up between them and Chicago.
It's not an insult to them. Yeah, there's a lot of good teams, so that means the good teams are going to end up in 6, 7, 8.
Yeah.
I mean, every single...
I'm guessing you have Houston at 5?
Memphis.
Memphis at 5. I have Dallas at 5.
Memphis and Houston are the two teams I just absolutely love.
Well, I've got Memphis at 4.
Yeah, I have Houston at 4. We talked about this. We dropped the Southwest Division podcast that came out today. We talked a ton about Memphis and how we thought their shooting was going to help boost their offense, and I don't really see it hurting their defense,
They won the games last year where Mark missed like 25 or so games last year, and they still won big. They're bringing back a lot of the same guys, and they replaced Mike Miller with Vince and Quincy Pondexter. They also have Boudreaux for the full season now to go along with Calathes as the backup point guard. Hopefully Mark will stay healthy again. Unless Sebo completely collapses, I think they're going to win, close to 55 games.
And Courtney Lee for a full season also. He's also in the mix. Courtney, what did I say?
Courtney Lee full season. Forgot about that. Yeah. Hopefully less Tayshaun Prince minutes too.
I read there was a report that Courtney Lee is going to start at small forward for them.
So it would be him and Tony Allen?
Yeah, but then I looked at their box score last night and Quincy Pondexter started, so I don't know if the report was correct or not.
They can go in a bunch of different ways. We'll see.
And Marc Gasol, I haven't seen Memphis at all this preseason. I don't know if they've been on TV or not, but I haven't. But Marc Gasol's box scores have been very strong, so I'm not really worried about any leftover injury stuff.
I love Marc. He's so freaking good, man.
Houston, I basically went with Houston. I just can't see a team with Dwight and Harden not winning 50-plus games.
Yeah, but I mean, I think 50 games could get you the seventh seed in the West.
They won 54 last year, and I don't see any reason they shouldn't win 54 again. I'll go there.
That's fair.
The Thunder. I went Thunder third. I'm assuming you did also.
I did go Thunder third.
I looked at their schedule, and I went up to December 23rd. There's no way, based on who they play, that they play 28 games before December 23rd. At worst, they're 16-12.
I mean,
that was giving every single 50-50 game a loss. I just counted games that they should 100% win.
Well, KD is going to miss 20% of the season, at least. Like, I can't put them over the Clippers and the Spurs based on that. I just can't. They're still going to be really good, and I think that they'll be there right up to the end of the playoffs, but I can't put them over those two teams with him missing that many games.
Yeah, that's why I went to December 23rd. That might be a little late, but figuring time it takes him to get back into NBA shape, just getting back in the flow with his teammates and stuff like that. So I just went a little longer then. Because what, he should be back middle of December if the timeline's right, correct?
6 weeks from the start of the season, yeah, mid-December.
Yeah, so that's why I went to the 23rd. They really lucked out with their schedule. They don't play the Spurs till late December. I think they only play the Clippers once. They have like a stretch where they play the Kings, Bucks, Celtics, Pistons. They play the Jazz a couple times. They really caught a break. Who'd you go first? Let's go to the top spot first.
I went with the Clippers.
I went Spurs.
I think San Antonio is going to see how well all of the rest and minutes management went last year and get even more aggressive. I think you'll see Duncan and Parker and Ginobili sit out even more than they did last season. And they already have, like, Patty Mills is already hurt. Thiago has barely played in the preseason. I think they're dealing with a little bit more injury than they were last year. And maybe a little bit of, you know, last year they were so motivated because of what happened in the finals the year before. I just don't think you can find that same well of motivation this year.
Here's my angle for that. This is Pop's chance to win back-to-back for the first time.
Yeah, I don't think obviously they want to win. But I don't think that is like an extra motivating factor for them.
So, all right, let's do NBA Finals.
Oh, and that, by the way, that means I went with San Antonio second. You went with the Clippers second.
So you went, oh yeah, I went Clippers second, you went San Antonio second, very obviously. So did you pick the Clippers for the finals?
I did not.
You went Spurs, or did you go Thunder?
I did not.
You went Thunder?
I did.
Okay, so you went Thunder Cavs.
I did.
I went Spurs Cavs again. This is what I think is kind of fun for the Spurs Cavs. We all kind of thought, now you would be, everyone kind of thought that like Durant, LeBron was going to be the next, like, Magic versus Bird, play each other again. If LeBron plays the Spurs again, that's the fourth time since 06-07.
Yeah. Yep. And they've had some battles.
So that, it's kind of weird. No one really thought that would kind of be this generation's battle of teams that were player and one team that continuously met in the finals. And it's kind of got a chance to be that.
For sure. I mean, the Spurs are so good. They're so good. But I do think that a healthy Thunder team at the end of the season is one of the few things that can beat them.
If the Clippers upgrade at small forward, I'd be really tempted to pick them to make the finals.
So you're not enamored of the Matt Barnes, Reggie Bullock, CJ Wilcox combination?
I'm okay with it. Barnes is just really, he's a very streaky player. He goes through very high highs and really low lows.
I was messing with you. I mean, that's not a a great combination.
It's not bad. It's decent. It's serviceable. When Barnes is making...
it's serviceable.
When Barnes is making his threes, he's a very solid player. He's just really inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you picking the Thunder to win?
I really don't want to. Like, I really don't. But I just think that they would, like, because I can't pick Scott Brooks to win it.
I went with
the... I'm not picking a winner.
I'm going with the Spurs repeat. You want to do? I did. That's going to really bother you. I picked Scott Brooks as my coach of the year.
How did you not pick Greg Popovich? The guy they should just name the award after.
Because I'm just doing it based on not who I think's the best coach. I'm doing it based on how I think the media is going to vote. And if the Thunder overachieve with Durant out, he's going to get all sorts of positive publicity, and the media is going to give him credit.
Yeah, I could see that, but I just think it's pop until it's not. Like, I can't pick against it at this point.
Five players most likely to make a jump this season.
All right. You want to just name them?
Yeah, you go first, I'll go second this time.
All right. So I kind of cheated because I took 2 second here, guys. Victor Oladipo and Steve Adams.
I like that Steven Adams one. Damn
it. I think that...
I like both of those, actually.
Oladipo sort of showed a lot of flashes last year of the different things he could do. He had that that great game against the Knicks in the overtime game, and then he had that triple-double where he played, like, 53 minutes in overtime against Chicago. He's right there, you know? It's consistency on that jumper... he's going to play a little bit more off the ball this year, which will allow him to attack a little bit more when he does get it, rather than having to always find a balance between attacking and looking for other guys. I think he's going to do really well. And Steven Adams is basically just me betting that Brooks is going to be smart and play him over Perkins, because that guy, when he played last year, was quite good. Like, he fouls 97 times a minute, but he's good. Other guys, my other three are Andre Drummond. Obvious reasons. I think everybody knows at this point that he's going to make a leap. And Stan is sort of the guy. If you could and pick a guy to coach Andre Drummond, I think it would be Stan.
Here's my problem.
Markieff Morris, what's your problem with it?
If I was coaching against Andre Drummond, I wouldn't let him take a shot.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen.
It doesn't, but it should.
But it doesn't.
He's shooting under 30% in the preseason. 30.
Hey, you know, what are you going to do? Teams don't play like that.
I wouldn't let him step foot on the court. He'd get fouled. I would start my 15 shitty center, and I would foul him every single time he touched the ball in a scoring position. So you
fair might, enough, but again, that's not what teams actually do.
So Markieff, and then who's your last one?
Terrence Jones.
I did this way differently than you did. I went with the really obvious, Davis and Cousins. I think those two are just going to get to a level that is absurd this year. I did Blake Griffin also. I think he's going to make a jump. I think his jumper is going to get better.
And so an additional jump.
Yeah, I think he's... If I were to pick... Well, I'll leave that for later. And then Eric Bledsoe and Lance Stephenson. I think Bledsoe has a gear that he hasn't shown yet. And I think Stephenson is going to be really, really good on that Bobcats team.
Hornets. But Hornets. You don't have to talk me into that one. I love Lance.
Yeah, I liked yours better. You went with younger guys. I kind of went with guys that were already good that I think you're going
to
get.
Yeah, you took guys making sort of the all-star to superstar leap, and I've got guys making the, you know, solid player to very good player leap.
Yeah, solid to being in, like, the all-star conversation leap.
Which I think is a bigger leap.
I think the leap I'm talking about is harder to make.
Well, I think it's harder to make, but not as big of a leap. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, agree. I think what we both said makes sense.
Okay.
Here's an award question that I think is interesting. Based on how the voting is done for this award, could Chris Bosh win Most Improved Player because of the numbers increase he's going to see this year?
No.
People won't vote him for that?
They won't think that he's gotten better. They'll just think he's gotten more opportunities. This will be the one time that people will realize that more opportunities doesn't mean you've gotten better. It just means you got the ball more. Because usually when a guy wins, it's all about increased minutes and increased opportunity. But because we know Bosh so well, because he's been in the league for so long and so good, and we know that he sacrificed to go to Miami to play with those guys, then they'll say, Bosh hasn't gotten any better, he's just getting the ball more again.
Yeah, I was just wondering if they were going to apply logic or just ignore it and look at his numbers and be like, oh, look at the increase in those numbers. He can win.
Yeah, I don't think. It's always like a young guy who plays more minutes and gets more opportunity. It's not going to be a well-established guy like Bosh. This is like a couple years ago at the start of the season when Kidd was out there shooting 50% from three and spurring all that ball movement for the Knicks. I was like, if Most Improved Player actually meant Most Improved Player, Jason Kidd would be Most Improved Player right now. And people were like, you're an idiot, Jason Kidd's an all-time legend. And I was like, Most Improved Player means the player who is the most amount better than he was the year before. That's the literal definition.
It's the weirdest award out of all of them,
I think. It's the dumbest award, I think. You can come right out and say it.
Yeah, you were more blunt about it than I was. Okay. I usually don't fail on the bluntness part, but you took it there. MVP. I know how you're going to answer this, but LeBron or the field?
I mean, the field, so this is one of those situations. Whenever you're given an X or the field bet,
you take
the smart
bet
is always the field.
Yes.
But in this case, I don't know. I mean, I did write about Blake Griffin as MVP. And that's actually who I took in the HP preview. I took Blake just because I think that, you know, okay, so LeBron in the last 4 years has come in second or third as often as he's won. So he can be beaten. He was beaten last year. You just need the right combination of team performance, individual performance, and narrative to get there. And again, I have the Clippers first in the West. Of the last 30 MVPs, only two guys have had their team not come in first or second in their conference. It was Malone in 99 and Jordan in 88, and they both came in third.
That's a good stat.
And also, only one MVP in the last 40 years has scored fewer than 20 points a game. So if the Clippers do vault into first place in the conference and LeBron and Love split that vote, I think it's going to go to Blake because he's the scorer on the Clippers, and Chris isn't.
Blake, that's when we were talking about the players make a jump. I think Blake going from right around that top 10 or 5, whatever, to winning MVP. If I were to pick someone not named LeBron, I would pick Blake. If you were not going to go Blake, Steph Curry would be the other guy I'd put in the mix.
Yeah, Steph Curry's a good pick, but I also don't have, like, I don't think that Golden State is going to be a top 2 team in the conference.
Yeah, going based off historically, you're right, that the Warriors won't be good enough for him to win that award.
Right, like no matter how good you are, think about all of the great seasons guys have had on, like, you know, second, third place teams, whatever it was. KG back in the day, that season where Kobe was just absurd, where the Lakers came in, like, I don't know, sixth in the conference or whatever it was. I mean, it just doesn't happen unless your team is really good.
Pick a team from each conference to make the finals, not name the Cavs, Bulls, Thunder, Spurs, or Clippers. If there was going to be a ridiculous, out-of-nowhere surprise team to make it in each conference, where would you go?
Memphis and either Charlotte or Atlanta.
Okay, I would go Memphis or Houston and Toronto.
That's fair. I mean, I think that those, I think the Southeast teams, the three Southeast teams in Toronto are all sort of on the same level for me. So, I mean, I wouldn't argue with anyone picking any of those four teams if you were saying Chicago and Cleveland weren't making it. Memphis, I think, they have that home court edge in the FedEx, and they play defense better than almost anyone else in the West. I love that team, man. Mark and Conley and Zebo and Tony Allen. Oh, man, I love that squad.
All right, what part of the season are you looking forward to most?
Arguing about where players are ranked, of course. Like, that's the best part of the season.
I catch a hint of sarcasm there.
That and talking about Knicks with stuff with those wonderful segments of Knicks Twitter.
Oh, I'm not even going there. Do you know what I like about this year? Even the
can I give a real answer before you go?
Yeah, sure.
All of the guys coming back from injury, Rose, Kobe, Rondo, Gallo, Anderson, Nerlens Noel, so many fun guys are coming back, and I think that's really cool.
I complained about the amount the Lakers were going to be on national TV. I'd like to rescind that.
God, it's going to be a disaster.
But Kobe's going to be so much fun. Just angry Kobe single-handedly trying to win games by himself is going to be amazing to watch.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And then, like, you know, just the end of the wind down for guys like Kobe, Nash, Duncan, Garnett, Ray Allen. You know, those are the, like, I think pretty much the only guys left from the 95, 96, and 97 drafts. Can't think of anybody else that was from those drafts.
Jermaine O'Neal hasn't signed with anyone yet.
Yeah, but he hasn't signed with anyone yet, so.
That sounds about right. I don't think there's anyone around besides those guys.
Has Marcus Camby officially retired?
I don't think him or Kurt Thomas have officially retired yet.
Like, Derek Fisher was one of the last guys from the 96 draft still playing. He's obviously retired now. 97. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else left. I think it might be just Duncan. I mean, technically, has Phillips retired?
Yeah, I think Phillips officially did.
Yeah. I think that's it for 97. Like, Jacques Vaughn's already been coaching for, like, 4 years from the 97 draft.
That's crazy. Stop making me feel old, fucker.
I think that's it from there. KG was obviously already the only one left from 95. I think that's it, man.
Wow. Ugh. What I'm looking, now that I feel really old, what I'm looking forward to most is this league just has crazy depth in it. Even, like, the crappy teams, like the Jazz, Kings, Bucks, Timberwolves, I can find a reason that I can go, oh, okay, I can watch that team play. Like, these teams have talent on them. Outside of the 76ers, there's a reason to watch pretty much every single team in the league.
Oh, dude, you don't want to watch Nerlens?
Oh, I do, but I don't know how much I could actually. I don't know if I can do that.
See, I think that there are other teams that, you know, I just don't want to watch. Like Boston, I have no interest in watching Boston this year.
You know Kelly Olynyk?
No. Oh, God, no.
I want to watch Smart and Young.
Yeah, I'll start watching them after Rondo gets traded. Or no, I mean, I'm going to watch them before that, obviously. But I won't be interested in watching them until Rondo gets traded.
But I do agree with you that Boston might be the second least interesting team in the league. Like, Orlando.
Behind who?
The Sixers.
Philly is super interesting. Like, I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
Like, they're horrible, but they're... It's one of the most interesting stories in the league. Maybe not on the court.
Yeah, not on the court. Off the court, yes. Completely agree. On the court,
on the court, it's just Nerlens. Like, you could take Michael Carter Williams. even before the draft, I was not big on him. And, I mean,
like KJ,
he showed he's a better player than I thought, but I'm still not sold. And neither are they. They tried to trade him.
KJ McDaniel. Okay. The two, Philly, Pacers,
Celtics. Oh, yeah. Indiana might be the most boring team in the league to watch. Like, Rodney Stuckey is going to lead that team in scoring. It's going to be, whew, boy, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, trying to figure out who to pick in fantasy from, like, the Sixers and Pacers. Like, there's stuff to be had there, and it was trying to figure it out is hard.
Yeah. Oh, man. Ugh.
But outside of that,
I'm also not big on most of the Utah guys.
Yeah, but there's, I don't like Kanter, but I'm down to, I watch Gobert, Favors, Trey Burke, Alec Burks. Like, there's Hayward. There's guys on the team I enjoy watching.
The only guys I like there are Exum and Long Arms Rudy.
And Exum also. Yeah, I think there's reasons to watch that team.
So Minnesota, I think, is another team that seems really fun. But then you're going to be watching them in the middle of February, and you're going to be like, this is disgusting.
It's fine. I'm going to get, you can get 2 months out of it, and Wiggins is there. Wiggins will always interest me, and Rubio will always interest me also. He's just fun to watch play basketball.
Yeah, I mean, there will be spurts where you're like, holy crap, this team is so fun. And then there will be very long stretches where you think that they've never even seen a basketball court before.
Brooklyn does absolutely nothing for me.
I like watching Joe Johnson. I mean, I know that that's sort of sacrilegious, but I like him. He's so much better than he's given credit for.
He needs to play a little bit better in the regular season this year than he did last year.
Yeah, I think that's true. But I also think, you know, hopefully for their sake, they won't be in as much chaos as they were last year. Now they sort of know what they're going to be. And I think at this point they know not to count on Brook Lopez for anything. Just because, I mean, he's already hurt again. How can you anticipate having him at this point?
That sucks. That injury sucked.
Yeah.
I was like, damn it.
But, so there's also, you know, reasons to look forward to the season. Point guards. You know, I'm all about point guard play. Dual point guard lineups, you know, I wrote about it a couple weeks ago. They're slightly more efficient on both offense and defense last year than standard lineups. And with teams like the Suns going all in on two point guard stuff, Oklahoma City should do a lot of it this year with Westbrook and Reggie Jackson. And if they don't, then that's just another, you know,
demerit
for Scotty in my book. A lot of other teams could be using more of that too, especially guys that are sort of like off-ball guys but are really good ball handlers. Like Charlotte, when they play Kemba and Lance together, I feel like they're going to share a lot of the ball handling responsibility. You know, Toronto has the Lowry-Vasquez combination, which was really good last year.
People don't realize how good that was.
At times with like Kyrie and Dellavedova at the same time.
Yes.
I sort of like that.
Yes.
Orlando with Payton and Oladipo. I mean, there's a lot of different teams that can do a lot of different things like that.
See, I don't consider. I know they played him at. I still don't consider. I consider Oladipo a wing.
He spent a lot of his time last year playing the point.
I just kind of think that was just a tool for him to get better at ball handling, knowing.
I think it was sort of sneaky tanking.
Yeah, but also
they developed his skill set while also losing games.
Exactly. That's can Schroeder. I would like to see Schroeder and Teague play a little bit together.
I think that Sheldon Mack's their backup, isn't he?
Probably would be my guess.
Boston's gonna do. I mean, if you consider Avery Bradley a point guard, I don't really. But between Rondo and Marcus Smart and Bradley, you would figure that those guys are all going to spend a lot of time on the court together. When Rondo's out there, he'll obviously be the guy directing things. But I'd imagine when they play Smart and Bradley together, it'll be sort of a timeshare.
And we talked about not liking Boston. Watching Smart and Bradley play defense together will be fun.
Yeah, I would like to watch Boston only for the minutes that Smart and Bradley are playing together.
Like,
and that's it.
3 years from now, that could be the best defensive backcourt in the league.
Sure. I mean, Marcus Smart's a really good defender. He's got such good size, too.
And Bradley's a fucking monster on defense. I love that guy.
And if his shooting is real, I mean, the contract looks ridiculous when he signed it, but with the cap set to go to the stratosphere, and if his shooting holds, then it doesn't look that bad.
I did not mind that contract. But that's because I irrationally like Bradley's game because of the defense. His on-ball defense is just incredible. And I think he's had 2 years now where he's shot threes pretty decently, between one where he didn't. So I think he's a very useful player on a team, and for $8 million, I have no problem with that. You want to, as we wrap up, you want to plug the HP preview again?
Yes, Hardwood Paroxysm 2014-15 season preview. It is right now, it's available on Scribd. There's links all over Twitter from me and Matt and Amin and all of the rest of the crew that worked on it. It will also be available on Amazon Kindle within the next few days. We're working on getting it uploaded there. There are some different formatting issues that we're taking care of. And there will also eventually be cross links throughout the entire HP Basketball Network. But it's $2.99. All of the money goes to the 35 or so writers that worked on the preview. We're not keeping any of it, but our writers don't get paid, and we wanted a way to compensate them for the hundreds of combined man hours that they spent working on this project. It's 217 pages worth of analysis, jokes, photoshops. We have three written sections on each team, as well as eight roundtables, five long form pieces. A page that with an infographic of custom shot charts, what they did in the off season, their cap and tax situation, and our favorite tweets about the team from the last year. It's really, really just incredible stuff. If you've read our previews either of the last couple of years, then you know what to expect. And this year is really no different. It might be the best one yet.
And if you've sat here and listened to me and Jared talk during these podcasts, you should be buying that, because there's people that are a hell of a lot smarter than I am on there doing really good work.
I thought you were going to say smarter than me, and I was going to say, hey, man, you know, that's just...
No, I went with me. I'm not going to insult. I'll insult myself. I don't insult other people.
I was
going to
say, do you want to keep doing podcasts?
Yeah. Good. Not insulting one of the bosses for the website I do podcasts for. It's on a list of things I know not to do.
No worries, man. You can insult me all you want.
Thank you very much for doing these, and good news for you, you don't have to talk to me for a long time now.
Well, I'll have to come back on at some point.
Oh, let's take it easy. You're not getting out of being bothered eventually, but I mean, you're going to get a break here.
All right, cool, man. Thanks for having me back.
That wraps up all the division and preview stuff with the Podium Game podcast.